WITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hello, I am Farha Khan. This is Prof Talk. Prof Talk is happy to be back on air on UBC CITR 101.9 FM for its third season. The show will air live every second Tuesday at 3 p.m. on the FM dial with live streaming audio at www.citr.ca. On today's show, I speak with Professor Gu Xiong from the UBC Department of Art History and Visual Art and Theory. Gu Xiong is a Vancouver-based artist who emigrated from China to Canada in 1989. Much of his work focuses on the dynamics of globalization and on identity shifts for individuals and local cultures. He addresses integration and assimilation, histories both collective and personal, and cultural synthesis across boundaries. Before we begin, I'd like to first play an audio clip in where Gu Xiong was featured in a series called A Scattering of Seeds, celebrating the contributions of immigrants to Canada.
My father is a child of two cultural revolutions. One back in China, and one, his own, here in Canada. His family was torn apart in the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s. And as a young boy, my father was exiled from his home in Chongqing to the Chinese countryside. My dad studied art and eventually became a respected contemporary artist in China. The head of visual arts at the Banff School of Fine Arts spotted his work and invited him to spend a year in Banff as an artist in residence. My father brought home what he had learned about Western culture and became a part of the avant-garde art movement in China. With his colleagues, he put on a show of contemporary art at the National Gallery of China in Beijing. The show was shut down by the authorities within 3 hours. The government cracked down on the student movement and on anything avant-garde. Hundreds of students were killed in the Tiananmen Square massacre, and we became afraid.
I went to Tiananmen Square. I watched those scenes there. I got very upset because that was an image for me, totally crushed my dream for China. I could only get out by myself. My wife and my daughter was still in China. I should change my citizenship from Chinese to Canadian. It was very difficult. In September 30, 1990, my wife and my daughter finally came to Vancouver to join with me here. That is my family reunited in Canada.
Professor Gu Xiong, welcome to Prof Talk, and thank you for joining us this afternoon on the first day of classes. Just listening to the audio clip, how do you feel? I know listening to it myself, I got a little bit of tingles, and it is quite special to hear your daughter talking about your life.
Yeah, it is very special for me. I was very emotional when I watched the video again to hear my daughter's sound. You know, so many memories has come back to me right now.
I bet. Well, I'd like to sort of jump into this show today and talk about your current exhibit. It's titled Becoming Rivers, and it's part of a larger exhibit at the Museum of Anthropology called Border Zones, and it's there until the end of this week. I just thought maybe if you could tell us about it and even give us a visual of it.
Well, my installation at the Museum of Anthropology is called Becoming Rivers. The idea came from my, immigrant experiences from one culture to another, but also at the same time to bring two cultures together through my artistic practice in Canada. So I also have so many immigrant friends, their individual stories from one culture to another, to catch up with their career, with their life in a new place. You know, those experiences and the spirit are totally encouraging me to focus on my art practice here in Canada. So this special installation is a site-specific installation because the Museum of Anthropology is located at UBC by the Pacific Ocean here, and also face to the east, where I came from.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's right.
It is the door, the gate for me to think about both cultures. This is a gate for both cultures, not just for one culture. You know, in the other side where I came from, Yangtze River, finally I landed here at the Fraser River. Live by the Fraser River in Vancouver. But inside, in this side, is an other gate of my new life. Since I came here 20 years ago, I start to rebuild up my life here. So those experiences and helped me to move forward to build up my concept, which is to searching for a new space, and not just living between two cultures, mm-hmm. You know, not just enjoying the benefit I could get from both cultures, but also move up to a new space to create an other space could be shared with other people, like Canada. You know, so many people move here from other countries, other cultures. So in a new space, I'm able to share my experiences with other people who have similar experience like me. But also think about globalizations. Mm-hmm. You know, every culture has to break through their barriers in order to meet other, in order to share with each other. So I feel that my journey from one culture to another, from one land to another land, is symbolic of this kind of cultural transition, you know, of the new space, how people could build up for themselves, also for other people. So this installation, I have used 2,000 plastic boats. You know, I always make paper boat when we were young, probably a lot of people doing that, you know, to put the paper boats into the water to carry on our hopes and wishes to the unknown places. So then I have that kind of imaginations in my memories. But to think about from Yangtze River to Fraser River across Pacific Ocean, then I also found the ocean. It's quite incredible to hold every drops of the water, every rivers flow into the ocean. So ocean is like a new space for me to absorbing from different cultures, to learning from each other, to change itself, move up, you know, to become something else, just like water. you see, it is very soft. It is always at the lowest spot, but it could be transformed into rain, storm, snow, you know. Those things, it is also powerful. But as those small boats flow into a space, whatever I have done, I put a few hundreds of the white plastic boats outside of the museum, you know, from those gravel pond, but that represents water for First Nation people. Then finally, yes. From two directions, to go through the glass walls, then finally get into the gallery space. But also from the first gallery space, then to go through a narrow hallway then into the new contemporary art gallery space. So then finally landed there. And in front of those boats, there is a painting I have created 5 feet by 16 feet, which is also called Becoming Rivers. Mm. So the image is I have
paint those two rivers just like a satellite, you know, map. I was inspired by that. Then as a black background, but I use a blue line to create those two rivers, like one from Yangtze River, one from Fraser River. And I narrowed down the Pacific Ocean, become very narrow, in order to let those two rivers to meet, to become one. I know in a real place, in a geographical place, it is impossible to let two rivers become one through the Pacific Ocean. But in a virtual space, in a individual's mind, it is possible, especially through individual's practice from generations to generations. So those two rivers coming together on my paintings, but also like a van, you know, like our body is everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's something you have to transform from the atmosphere into an individual's body, then through individual's practice, through whatever this person makes, then is showing up again.
So the boats, you, as you described, they're outside and they come through the windows into the museum. Can you describe the boats as they hang from the ceilings, right?
Yeah, it is hanging from the ceiling. It is in a space, is not on the floor. But that space for me is full of waters.
Oh.
Yeah. So when I hung up the boats inside of the museum, then you feel that when you look at the boat, you also feel you are in the water. You are in this flow. Because for me, water and the river is a change of forces. You know, it is a force not just to bring me from China to here, but also bring me from past to the present and to the future. So that forces, like I always talk about that, if you want to make a personal river, you have to dig down very hardly in order to bring the water come to you, then there will be a river. But if you don't walk on it, there won't be a river. You know, you never see the water will come to you. So that's whatever I want to see, is everybody have to keep going in this new place and in new culture. You have to change yourself. You have to towards to the future. You don't know what kind of possibilities will be ahead of you until you work on it.
Right. Very beautiful. I'm dying to ask you more about the two rivers, because it's such a beautiful motif in your work, in this particular exhibit. Can you describe the Yangtze River and the Fraser River together, and how you also understand these rivers as places that people live alongside, and just to connect that, especially the because I know the Fraser River, but if you could definitely tell us about the Yangtze River.
Well, I was born by the Yangtze River. I was born in Chongqing, China. It is a city surrounded by the Yangtze River and the Jiangling Rivers. So when I was young, I was sent to the countryside when I was 17. Also was by a river living in a big mountains. I spent 4 years in the countryside. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a difficult time. Without knowing our future, without knowing the hope, I was start to do art, to do sketches every day, try to find out the meaning of my life and searching for the meaning to belong to that place and to find my own vision of Chinese culture, because it was under a cultural revolution. Everywhere are, you know, revolutionary things happening. Finally, in the countryside, it became quiet. Then I could face myself to build up my identity in a strange place. That was the time. So, but to think about that, after 4 years in the countryside, then I finally get out from the countryside, become a worker in a factory, a sewing factory, also by the river too. So I worked, I was a worker for 3 years, but at that time, you know, I still found my life was still not that exciting, because except to become a part of the whole revolutionary machine, there is still no individual space. So only until the Cultural Revolution finished in 1977, then Deng Xiaoping, who finally came into the power to finish the Cultural Revolution, then to make the open door policy to all Chinese and also to other countries. Finally, China became alive again in 1980s. So at the time, I could get into the university to study art because I want to be an artist. Mm-hmm. I want to express myself from whatever I have experienced through the Cultural Revolution at that time, but also absorbing from Western contemporary culture and art was very exciting. But only until, you know, June 4th happened in 1989, then I found that I lost my hope. So that's why I have to come to Canada. But at the time, the Banff Center for the Arts helped me to get out from China, and I was in their artist in residence program for another year from 1989 to 1990. So after 1990, then I finally moved here, you know, by the Fraser River. But through my experience, you know, from the Rocky Mountains and the Fraser River, I also found that was very interesting experience to me. At the beginning, my first years here, I was doing no paying jobs. You know, I work at the UBC cafeteria as a busboy for 2 years. So that was difficult for me as an art teacher and a famous artist in China. But to come to Canada, become nothing. Nobody knows who you are because my language was very poor at the time. But at that time, I was so start to recognize myself. I have to stand up from the bottom of the society. Mm-hmm. I have to find the value of my life and my art in this new land and new culture. So the cafeteria was a door opened to me to accept me from this society. So every day I work with garbages. But that garbage is not garbage anymore to me. Hmm. I feel that every day when I threw away a bag of the garbage, then I feel that I become a better person because I cleaned up my inner self. Every day I become better and better. Hmm. So at the same time, you know, not just make a living to support my family, but also making art is very important. You know, I couldn't do contemporary art in China, but that is the reason why I come to Canada. Mm-hmm. Here is possible, but at the beginning was difficult too. My dreams about another culture was also crushed by the reality. So I finally realized freedom is not something someone could give to you. You have to go through a struggle, then you have to find it yourself. So what I have found from my art practice, so every year I start to make shows. My first show here in Vancouver was called Goose World at the Diane Fires Gallery. But that show was very well accepted by the society. You know, the newspaper, the magazines, radio, they all report on my show. Then I found it was quite interesting because the show, whatever I have done, was all of those garbages, cafeteria trees, garbage bags, crushed cans. Because at the time when I saw students crush their papa cans, Coca-Cola cans after the drink in the cafeteria, I suddenly found my inspiration. My old life was gone under crushing, but my new life was reborn. Because you could never find that two crushed cans have same shape. It's impossible. Yeah. So that unique shape inspired me to be a unique and original person in this new land and new culture. So I had a show called Crushed Cans. Yeah. So from no life become life. So that's my cultural transition here. I found the Fraser River is carrying on that to me. I always remember my time, my youth time in the countryside, in the mountains, by the rivers. You know, but here, at that time in China, there was no hope. But here, this culture gave individuals hope. This culture accept hardworking. If you work hard in your field, that if you build up your new concept, new identity, definitely this culture totally welcome of that. So my practice here from 1989 up to now is almost 21 years now. I mean, my journey from a busboy be a professor here is an example to see everybody could do it, not just myself.
That's just beautiful. I'm going to change our conversation and talk about some of your current involvement with students, because you've talked about how, you know, you're a professor and you're an associate professor in the Department of Visual Arts, and I just want maybe to ask you about how you connect some of the things that you've mentioned with how you teach your students.
Well, for me here, the students is different from whatever I was doing in China. Here, students are very open. Their critical thinking are very alive. And in art, they have to learning how to use different mediums, incorporate with their concept. I think that is a way for me to help them to build up their abilities, because art, the concept and techniques is one part, is not two. Everyone come to learning art, they have to build up that kind of idea. It's not just come to learning techniques or just the concepts, but both. Because every concept has to go through the right techniques and finally become an art piece. Then could be, you know, get feedback from the audience. So in that case, I always find my way to help students, to talk to them how important, then to make special projects to help them to build up their abilities in their art learning. Because for me, when we think about to learning art, what kind of job you can get when you graduate. So I always tell them that, well, through art, you become a creative person. You know, if you are a creative person, you can do anything you like to do. But also, through art making also is a way to get into know yourself, to understand your inner self, to understand your inner vision, what you're really looking for. So if you can bring that out, that means you have your potential, do whatever you want to do and do it well.
My father is a child of two cultural revolutions.
Sorry about that. This technical glitch.
Yeah. Well, that's something.
That's what happens when you've been off air for as long as Prof Duck has been, but we're glad to be back. So as you were saying, you were telling your students the advice that you give them.
Yeah. But being an artist, I think is difficult. But I think because that difficulties everybody has to go through, I always talk about that we are just like probably a fish underwater. If you are able to break through the surface of the water, then you will own the whole sky. Mm-hmm. But if you don't break through, then you will be underwater, be isolated there too. So that kind of freedom, you know, artistic, creative freedom, as an individual, you have to build up through your journey, through whatever you have to learn in school. I also talk about the school is like a box. You jump in first, but you have to be able to jump out after all.
Wow.
You cannot be limited by knowledge. You have to use the knowledge, become part of your creation.
That's great. Well, you've been listening to an interview with Professor Gu Xiong on UBC CITR 101.9 FM. I'd like to thank you, Guosheng, for a wonderful and very inspiring interview. And I'd also just like to mention that you can see his exhibit, Becoming Rivers, at the Museum of Anthropology until the end of this week, so until September the 12th. And then he will be exhibiting at the Richmond Art Gallery. The exhibit is called Waterscapes, and that will start on September 17th and run until November 14th. We would love to hear your feedback of the show, so you can email us at proftalk@gmail.com. And for an updated schedule of future shows, you can see our blog at ubcproftalk.blogspot.com. I'm Farah Khan. Thank you for listening, and talk to you in 2 weeks.